Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to the end of the week. We are at the day we like to call Friday. And man, we got a sound effect to kick that off. Hit it, man. Friday! Yes, it is. You made it to another weekend. Congratulations. And we're going to get you all the way to go home time here on a Friday afternoon. And pushing the buttons quite well on the board. JP, how you doing, man?
Doing good. It's a good Friday after a good election result.
Yes, it is.
It's a cherry on top.
It's just like this heading into a satisfying time.
Yes.
Like, I know. It's just good. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. Full slate, man. So I'm going to do a section on California today. California, yes, California, and you'll hear why in a minute. But a friend of mine who's been on the show a couple of times, former California State Senator Melissa Melendez, she's out there in the thick of things leading the fight for conservatives in the state of California, and we're going to talk to her about what's going on out there because you may be surprised to find California moved red, and I'm just telling you, not a little bit, like a lot. So former California State Senator Melissa Melendez at 3 o'clock, we'll talk to her. 3:30 p.m. today, got to do a little JP on sports. So we'll dive into sports, take a break from politics, and get JP to plus us up on the world of sports as he knows it. And then at 4 o'clock today, you all hear him on the podcast, Right Click. He's also been on the live stream with us for the other night for the election night. But Birdman's going to be here. Birdman recently did another appearance on another radio show, and I thought, man, I got to have him on to talk about this. So Birdman has literally discovered the places in which wokeism is so embedded in the world of video games that you actually are required to select your level of wokeness. Anyway, we'll talk about that with Birdman at 4 o'clock today. It's going to be interesting. And then there's a whole triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First one out the gate, California dreaming. You know what? I want my California back. It's a beautiful state. Listen, politically we may not get along with it, but it's actually not what you might think. There's an amazing amount of conservatives who are just simply outnumbered by some of the big metropolitan areas. But some great things have just happened. And I'm saying, we want the land of Reagan back. Thank you very much. We want conservatism back in California. Well, let's get there, but let's talk about what just happened, too. So first one out the gate, triple dipper, California dreaming. Number two, if we can get to it, if we can squeeze it in, border wars. There's been some new things that have happened in the fight on illegal immigration. Trump gets elected, and all of a sudden, things just start happening. Ba-bing, ba-bing, ba-bing. We'll talk about all the things that changed simply because of the election results. And then number three, yeah, every once in a while, you know the deal. I'm resourcing the show. And I'm thinking, look at the wokeness. I mean, how much wokeness? I mean, can there be more wokeness? How much wokeness is there out there? Well, I get a vast cornucopia, a buffet, a smorgasbord, if you will, of wokeness. And that means we got to have a round of adventures in woke world in conjunction with our call with Birdman at 4 o'clock. All right, let me jump into today's Right Side Way monologue. And, you know, in a minute, too, if you're watching on the live stream, JP is going to put a picture up on the screen that is significant to what I'm talking about. But let me just start off by saying exactly 2 years ago today, on November 8th of 2022, we had the midterm elections. The results were resoundingly tepid. Republicans were beaten down, beleaguered, and apathetic. We have been bamboozled and browbeaten for 2 years in the wake of COVID and BLM riots and January 6th accusations. We had weak leadership on our side that did nothing much worthwhile when it came to seizing ground and taking our country back. The 2022 midterms were a watershed moment of political mediocrity for Republicans. But this year was different. This year we turned out. This year, with new leadership and a renewed sense of purpose, we took our country back. And we did it with a whole new team and a fresh set of eyes. So yeah, this week we finally had an election day to celebrate, finally. For the better part of a year and a half, we have been inundated with ads regaling us with information and insight and innuendo about who to vote for. We watched lawfare and insults and accusations. But this week, it all came down to you. You just went to the polls. did that thing that much of the world can't do. We all cast our votes for the candidate or the cause that we have decided to vote for. Democrats and their liberal media allies gave us grave warnings. They warned that warned the whole world that democracy was on the ballot. People like Biden and Harris and Schumer and Pelosi, they invoked visions of Nazis and fascists and tyrants. They harped that if those mega Republicans got control, that it could end the American way of life. It's as if democracy is supposed to be a one-way street for one-party rule, as far as they talk. The leftist mantra is that no one else can have a differing opinion. Well, a couple of years ago, I actually rolled my eyes when some yokel named Andrew Gawthorpe wrote a piece that came out in The Guardian titled, "The Future of American Democracy is at Stake in the Elections." I kid you not. In one overreaching paragraph filled with sensationalistic hyperbole, Gawthorpe said, here's what he said. "Never before in American history," he said, "has there been an organized movement which was only one vote away from having the motivation and opportunity to make that America's last, that election America's last. Never, that is," he said, "until now. Today's anti-democratic movement is propelled by genuine controversy and scandal. It's a commitment to ending competitive elections in the United States." Good Lord. People like Gawthorpe, they are the problem. I challenge him, Gawthorpe, to ever show me one place he spent time where democracy was truly considered risky. You see, what Biden, Harris, Schumer, Pelosi, and Mr. Andrew Gawthorpe don't seem to get is that what we witness this week is not the end of democracy. It is democracy. The idea that people with a sovereign right to their own notions can have a constitutional right to elect their representative government is, in fact, the hallmark of democracy. When a voter goes to the polls, casts their vote to either vote someone in or vote someone out, they are, in fact, doing exactly what the Founding Fathers hoped for. And I got to tell you, when I hear rhetoric like Gawthorpe, I have memories that stand out of what it's really like to see democracy at its formative level, in a manner in which it is absolutely risky to even cast a vote. And folks, we are not there. But there's a thing that I experienced once. I mean, I can still look back to a time when myself, my team sergeant, and my team, we were posted outside of Baghdad City Hall. Baghdad City Hall in the year 2004. The building was called the Amanat. We were there in 2004, exactly 20 years ago, to safeguard the selection of the first ever freely determined mayor of Baghdad. I had several interactions with Mayor Al-Tamimi after that. I didn't really like him, but he served, and he wore a bulletproof vest everywhere he went. And I also have a picture that I still carry in my wallet from around that same time. It's up on the screen right now if you're watching the live stream. I have this picture that I carry in my wallet. I've talked about it before, and some of you heard me mention it in speeches, but it bears describing again today. It's a fairly innocuous-looking, tattered photograph that I actually carry in my wallet, but knowing what it represents makes it one of the most profound photos I've ever had in my life. I mean, if you look at it, the picture is just a group of men sitting around a table. And that group of men, by the way, is the first ever elected city council for the Rasafa district of Baghdad. A group of men who chose to run for office at the real threat of their lives. In the picture, third from the right, is Sheikh Majid. Second from the right is a man who became my real friend, Dr. Abdul Qadim. Sheikh Majid, he was assassinated for daring to serve on the council. And Dr. Qadim, he survived being shot in the head, but he was never the same after that. But in that photograph, both men were still serving as the chair and the vice chair of the council. And I'll never forget one moment in that same council meeting, the one where that picture was taken. In that same council meeting, when the roll was called, there was one member missing. And through my interpreter, I came to understand that the person had resigned because his family had been threatened. And the room sat there kind of quietly for a minute. And then one of the members said, "I believe that we are allowed to vote for his replacement." It was amazing to watch. Now keep in mind, the entire population of Iraq up to that point, including these men, they had lived for decades under a tyrant who dictated their every move. And that self-determination, it could have taken you away during the night by the secret police if you dared to try and have some measure of self-determination. There was no such thing as voting in Saddam's Iraq, not for anything. But here we were, at the time that picture was taken, standing by as a council of men figured out what self-determination and elected governance was supposed to look like. So in that particular moment, when they had the vacancy, Dr. Qadim, I remember he turned to the council, he opened the floor for nominations. At that point, someone made a nomination, and Dr. Qadim called for the vote. Y'all, you could have heard a pin drop. they voted by a show of hands. And I swear, some of them were like they were ducking their heads down as they raised their hands up. It was like it was painful for them. It would have been amusing if it wasn't so solemn. But then Dr. Cottam declared the outcome of the vote, and everybody kind of looked up, and somebody started laughing, and someone else started clapping, and the whole room broke out into applause and congratulations and backslapping. And y'all, it was really something special to see. It was people experiencing firsthand what an incredible thing it is to cast the simplest of votes, to make themselves known in the selection of someone who will govern. It was really kind of humbling to be there. I have kept their picture with me ever since that time. And that picture was actually part of my own motivation to run for office myself back in 2010. I remember thinking, if I could sit there and watch these men under threat of their very lives, one of whom was assassinated while I was there, if I can watch them serve in elected capacity under threat of death, then what's keeping me from running? So I ran myself. It was the kind of vote that day that we Americans would take for granted. It was informal. It was not a big deal. But like I said, two of those men were attacked for being a part of it. It was grassroots democracy, y'all. And when the time came for me to leave Baghdad, I made it a point to find my way back to that council, and I told them all that one day their children would study their names in the history books because they were all heroes. So here's the deal. What those men that I knew bled for in Iraq was the right to do something that we as Americans too often take for granted. And yet for us, it's a right that's enshrined in our Constitution. People like Biden and Harris and Pelosi and Schumer and knuckleheads like Andrew Gawthorpe, they may try to declare with a straight face that the very act of casting a vote for our chosen candidate is somehow a threat to democracy. But when they do that, it's not only disingenuous, it's dangerous. It's wrong. It's a lie. Those men that I carry around in that picture in my wallet, they knew that maintaining the status quo was not to the benefit of their society. So they participated in the change, and they became a society that votes. And Democrat fearmongers, they all wanted us to sit still this past week. They all wanted us to be quiet, to make no changes, to maintain their version of status quo, to sit idly by and let them just do what they will. But we did not. Because inherently built into democracy is the freedom to push for change. This week, America voted overwhelmingly to change our status quo. We voted like our life depended on it. We voted despite the threats and the innuendos and the efforts made to gaslight us into some kind of sheepish acquiescence. Because that is democracy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I love that picture. It's special to me, and I do carry it around with me. If we're out and about together and you ask me, I should have it in the little leather portfolio I carry in my pocket. It's amazing to look back on it and realize it's been 20 years. But I was there, and I got to watch people who had never voted on anything in their life laugh with relief and clap when they got a chance to vote on something that you and I would take for granted. And this past week, America stood up, and we did the same thing on a broad scale. We changed our status quo. By God, it's going to be a new day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades here on a Friday afternoon. Got my coffee and I am good to go, man. By the way, coffee is the official drink of Right Side Radio. So to text line, let me say something too about our text lines. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Hey, by the way, many of you may have just gotten a text from us a moment ago, and we will not do this often. I've made a promise when we first opened the text lines up a few years back that we would not take advantage of the fact that y'all are, you know, part of the show with us every day. But every once in a while, we got to send you a message. I think like for the third time in 3 years we've done this. But we just sent one out that says, "Hey, Right Side Ruffians, we won't do this often, but we wanted to make you aware of something new. If you haven't already, please click the link down below to sign up for our daily newsletter. So the Right Side Report is our brand new email newsletter. It just started, and we're actually now asking people if they would like to receive it in their inbox every day. It'll give you all the stuff about Right Side. It'll tell you if we got any new merchandise for sale. It'll tell you whether we got new podcasts out. It'll talk about the latest op-eds that have been written. And, of course, it'll tell you what the daily is going to be like on Right Side Radio. You'll know the Triple Dipper before you come to the show. So if you'd like to get the Right Side Report, it is now up and running and going out. And all you got to do is click on it, give us an email address, and you'll be in the queue, and you'll get it daily. So a bunch of y'all have already replied. I mean, a ton just replied to that. So anyway, that text went out about 45 minutes ago.
And at any point in time, you can just text newsletter to that text line. You'll get a link.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. If you didn't get the text for any reason, or if you forget about it and want to go back to it, the same number, 833-68-RIGHT. Just text the single word newsletter. It's all one word, newsletter, and it will automatically send you the link so you can get signed up if you want to. Bruce from Springville checked in. He says, woke is no joke. It's extremely destructive to our country. I may have to borrow that phrase. Thank you very much. Jim from Athens already got the newsletter and loves it. Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate that, man. Frank from Huntsville says, it's legit. Or no, you said it's legit to him. Frank wanted to know if we were Russian hackers. No, it's real. what do we else we got here? Brandy from Owens, from Owens Crossroads, got it. She's signing up. I'm trying not to read all these. I don't know which ones are telling me they're responding, which ones are on the show. Thomas from Athens says, threat to democracy? The 6% of congressional districts that are counting newly printed ballots or votes or whatever, those could be the real threat if those people steal the House. I don't think they will. I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to get the House, and we should know, I would hope, today. And I tell you what's interesting is we actually flipped several counties in California, which we'll talk about in more detail in a minute. And by the way, before I forget, I'll go ahead and say it now, as long as I'm giving you all the admin stuff here for the start of the show. Monday is Veterans Day. This is a veteran-friendly show. I myself am a veteran. So Monday we will actually be playing what we call a best of compilation that, we've already got put together. It's several things that have happened in the last few days. So Monday we will not be live in studio. We will be, replaying something so that the Right Side staff can enjoy the day and celebrate the fact that, veterans have given us the freedoms to elect like we did this week.
And if you want to just ruminate in the happiness that Trump was elected, we're replaying the day after show since it was such a happy
show. Oh, it was a good day.
Happy
man.
Show. So that's if you want to relive one. That, that's a good chance for you too.
A whole bunch of it. Plus Jay Towns' interview you said yesterday, right? Which was also pretty spot on. All right, listen, I got a lot of stuff for you, and a bunch of y'all are texting. We're going to have a great show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got California State Senator Melissa Melendez. In the meantime, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. So we're going to talk about this first Dipper here, California Dreaming. I'm going to be honest with you. So let me switch gears here. Dipper one, California Dreaming. Why did I call it that? Because I dream of a day when we could have California back. That's why. Now listen, as a part of my eclectic life, I lived in California for a period of time, roughly middle school time frame, 7th and 8th grade. 6th and 7th grade, I think it was. Yeah, 6th and 7th. So, and I would say, too, it was also one of the most turbulent times in my life. Any of y'all have ever heard my testimony know that I was a lost kid, all right? I was literally a mess. Maybe one day, JP, I'll tell you my story. But the reality is I was a mess, and I was getting messier by the day. And I went from California. My parents are divorced, and I went to live with my dad, who was serving in the military and overseas. I like to say that God gave me a 3-year timeout, and I needed it. But that's where I accepted Christ, was living overseas. However, that time in California also gave me a love for the state. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. A state that is rich with resources. A state that is, you know, beautiful to the eye and has an amazing amount of great people there. A state that has so much to go in terms of what it's brought to the culture of America through Hollywood and through the tech industry and, you know, the military installations there. I mean, that's where Navy SEALs go through BUDS down there at Coronado near San Diego. And you've got, you know, Coronado Naval Air Station, and you've got, you know, you've got any number of military installations out there. If you've been in the military long enough, you had reason to be in California at some point. The weather. Oh, my gosh, the weather. I mean, did you know that you don't even need air conditioning in your house in San Diego because the cool breezes come in year-round? Just open your window and it's 55 degrees at night year-round. That's amazing. And then Northern California in the mountains with the redwoods and all of it. Okay, what am I doing? I'm playing up the fact that this is an amazing state. And we want it back. As someone on the right, I just don't want to talk about the left coast and call it done. I want it back. And I know it's possible. You know why I know it's possible? Because first of all, we did it here in Alabama. Don't forget, this used to be a blue state. In fact, just a few years ago, I was the chairman of the Republican Party for Etowah County, and we flipped the county while I was the chairman, and there are now no longer any elected Democrats in the entire county. I'm talking county commissions, all of it. But the reality is, sometimes it just takes time to work your way through the elected offices and to regain ground. We did it in the Alabama legislature. I got to be a part of that too. In 2010, y'all think back to our history. In 2010, the Republican wave hit the Alabama legislature, and for the first time in 136 straight years, Republicans had a majority. Democrats held our House and Senate, both, for 136 straight years, and it was a freaking mess. And we took it back finally. And this election, the one we just had this week, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but we gained a lot of ground. If you look at a red-blue map, of California, you're going to see there's actually, geographically speaking, more red counties. The reality is, it's the big population centers of Los Angeles, Oakland, San Francisco, and just running along the southern coastline, and to some extent San Diego. It's those big metropolitan areas that are driving the politics of the state. There's a huge population base there, and that's true. They have 47, we have seven congressmen in Alabama. They have 47 out there. That's amazing. But we actually flipped four counties red. Let me tell you a few things that happened. Let me grab my notes right here real quick. And we're going to talk about it with my friend Melissa Melendez in a minute. I'll tell you what, I'll do this first. How long has it been since California was a red state? In my lifetime, how about that? 1988. The last time the Electoral College votes of California went to a Republican was George H.W. Bush, 1988. If you remember, we had a moderate Republican named Arnold Schwarzenegger who was the governor as a Republican. But this is also the land of Reagan. This is where Ronald Reagan came from. California voted red in 15 of the 25 last presidential elections. So basically the predominance has been, yes, we have seen Republicans carry the state for decades. It's those large-scale metropolitan areas. But guess what just happened? Several things. We just did a recall of Gascon, the DA from San Francisco, or Los Angeles. We just did a recall, or had a recall, of the liberal mayor of San Francisco. We just had a recall of the liberal mayor of Oakland. We just literally had four counties flip red. I mean, a lot happened this week in California, and it's worth talking about because, friggin', I want California back. Let's take a break, JP. We'll come right back, and I'll give you some more details. And then coming up top of the hour, a friend of mine, former California State Senator Melissa Melendez, very conservative, she's going to give us firsthand what it's like out there right now and what she sees. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so Gary from Scottsboro just gave me a correction. He says there's 52 House seats in California. Well, that may be accurate. I thought that we actually lost a few of those in the last census redo. Some states, California and New York, were the two states that lost so much of their population base from people exiting the states due to woke policies that they had lost several seats. So maybe they had 50 more, 50 like six or so. But anyway, bottom line is they got a lot of seats. So thank you, Gary. So California, things that just happened. I got a piece here from Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. California remains solidly blue, they say. The Associated Press called for it for Vice President Harris within minutes of the polls closing, but early voting figures indicate a rightward shift among many of the inland counties compared to 2016. 72% of counties shifted more Republican this year. 72% of California counties shifted more to the Republican side. That's significant. That's called creeping back into a position of strength. It was only 21%. Wow, that's a huge shift. The number was 21% in 2020. 4 years later, it's 72%. San Francisco, it says, also appears to contribute to the trend, though we don't know to right now how much until all the ballots are processed. So there were a lot of things that happened. They say that the Hispanic vote really went to the right, or moved more to the right. The big voting blocks, you saw them everywhere, moved to the right. And then things that are happening right now, you look at it like, okay, it's not just what happened with voting red. Sometimes it was also for voting on cultural issues. Like, for instance, George Gascon, the progressive district attorney who has been making a mockery of the law in California. He lost by more than 20 points in his attempt to get rid. He's a Soros DA. He's one of the worst in the nation. He has been, like I said, making a mockery of the law, letting criminals out for just about anything, weak on crime, hard on victims, just roughing up society. He lost by more than 20 points. Y'all, 20 points? That's like, why'd you even show up? George Gascon got his backside handed to him. Not just that. We also saw the Oakland mayor. She's awful. She's under, I think she's right. She's already had her house raided by the FBI. I mean, I think she's on her way to jail, but she's a super liberal Oakland mayor, Xing Tao, and then district attorney Pamela Price also both got recalled. So we had one that lost, we had two that were recalled, and then you have the referendum. California had a referendum on the ballot. It was a referendum to go tougher on crime. It was Proposition 36. And Gavin Newsom did not want it passed. Gavin Newsom did not like it. But California voters this past Tuesday approved a November ballot measure, according to this story I've got here from hotair.com, that will impose stricter penalties for repeat theft and crimes involving fentanyl, steering away from recent progressive policies that critics blame for increased lawlessness. They'll also make it a felony for someone to steal merchandise of any value after two previous offenses, which can lead to longer jail or prison sentences. You've seen all the videos of these folks walking in with impunity and loading up their arms with goods and just walking out of a store laughing about it as if it's their buffet, as if it's their place to go, all you can eat, no charge. And they just load up their arms with merchandise and walk out the door. And many times the employees of the store are told to just watch and make it happen, unless they're one of the stores that now has everything you can buy under lock and key and you have to have assistance from staff to be able to get to any of it. It's ridiculous. That's because they've been so soft on crime that the public just said, enough. And they got a ballot referendum through that just changed the law. Y'all, it's an amazing thing. I mean, it's so bad with Gascon, the DA that I told you that lost his election huge. His own staff had filed suit against him. His own staff were rebelling and saying that he had to go. The union opposed his candidacy, and they were in numerous court battles with him, and they're welcoming their new boss, who's also a Democrat, but he's a Democrat who says he's going to be tough on crime and he's going to make it fun to walk the streets again without having to worry about crime and theft and all the things that take place. Listen, I'm encouraged. We're going to talk to our friend Melissa Melendez here in a moment. She served in the California State Senate. She's got her finger on the pulse of what's going on in California, and I want to hear her thoughts directly. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We want our California back. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and Just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. On a Friday after a great election, I'm still basking in the warm glow. It's just nice to head into a Saturday knowing that election is not only over, but that it went the way it did. But like I said earlier in the segment here, this whole first dipper of the show is called California Dreamin'. I love that state. I don't love the state politics, but we have to understand what you see in terms of the Electoral College is not representative of the entire state. Geography speaking, if you look at the map, red and blue, there's more red counties right now in California than there are blue. The population centers are what makes a difference in the politics. Well, somebody who knows that better than any of us is my friend, former state senator Melissa Melendez. She served in the California State Senate for 10 years, and after leaving the state Senate in 2022, she served for a period of time as the president of the Golden State Policy Council, a conservative think tank and advocacy organization. She's also a veteran of the Navy, where she was a Russian linguist, and she's on the phone right now. Melissa Melendez, how are you doing?
Well, it is a great MAGA morning. Thank you, Phil, for having me on.
It's nice to hear somebody from the left coast say MAGA morning. Yes, it is.
I'm going to have T-shirts that says that. Good MAGA morning.
Good MAGA morning to you. Well, listen, I mean, talk to us a little bit, because you guys, I mean, people don't realize that a little bit of red stuff happened in the election in California.
Yeah, we did. We had about 9 counties that flipped to red voting for Trump, you know, compared to the last election, which is wonderful. And that tells you that, Democrats are now not afraid of the party bosses. They're not afraid of being called names. They're not afraid of being demonized for the way they vote and wanting to stand up for their families and their children and the economy that they want. They're tired of it. And that's why you've seen this shift. And we've seen now, you know, just in our state legislature, I mean, granted, we have a long way to go for Republicans to get a majority, but there are 2 seats in the assembly that are looking like they're going to flip red. So that's wonderful news. We didn't lose any in the Senate. That's wonderful news as well. And of course, we've seen, you know, a number of people who have switched from voting typically for Democrats to voting for Trump. So that's a small bit of an awakening that's hugely encouraging for those of us who are, you know, still in California and holding out hope that we can turn things around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's also very telling is not just Democrats in terms of the Trump or the true Republican vote, but in some cases there were Democrats that got ousted from office. I mean, we're watching the mayor of Oakland, the mayor of San Francisco, D.A. Gascon, and D.A., what's her name? Last name, Price, I believe. They got recalled and outvoted.
I mean, that's right. We have the mayor of San Francisco, you know, she's out. I mean, now keep in mind, they are not being replaced by Republicans.
Sure.
They are being replaced by other Democrats. However, those Democrats who are replacing these 2 women, I hope they got the message that their constituents don't want any more of this defund the police nonsense and let everybody out of jail and, you know, anything goes in California. So I hope that they're heeding that call. So that is encouraging. And then, you know, we had a number of propositions on the ballot. We had 10 propositions. And typically Democrats expect, you know, the voters are going to pass all of them. And 4 of them are failing, which is kind of extraordinary. And one of them in particular, when we're talking about public safety, is one that basically said, you know, what they want to do is they wanted inmates who work in prison to be paid the state's minimum wage.
What?
So they, yes. And so they put a proposition on the ballot to, I think they called it forced labor. Well, okay, it's not forced labor. It's actually a privilege that you earn in prison to have a job there. And no, they don't get paid minimum wage, but that's what the push was. So they wanted to get rid of that so that then they can implement minimum wage for inmates. And so that proposition is failing in a deep blue state like California. So that tells you Californians, no matter what their political stripe is, they are sick and tired of this nonsense.
Well, and you guys, I believe, didn't Proposition 36 pass? That's the one that made it tougher on crime
and did
away with the weakness.
That's right.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yep.
And that's statewide, isn't it?
That is statewide, and that's another wake-up call for Democrats who think that their constituents are always just going to vote the way they tell them to vote. And that has changed because, like I said, they're tired of – I mean, you know, we have people on the news now saying that the reason Kamala Harris lost is because black men are racist, Latino men are racist, white men are racist. Everybody's a racist if you don't do what they say.
Yeah.
And I think voters have said, you know what, you can call me any name you want. I'm not doing that because I'm going to vote what's best for me and for my family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope we see more of it. And, you know, and I tell you what, one of the things I didn't even mention in my earlier portion of this segment is apparently in response to Trump getting elected, Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, I follow you on social media and I crack up every time you always call Gavin Newsom Skippy. So so you're constantly – he'll say something, you know, he'll go Gavin, and then you'll say, well, Skippy, if you'd just done this, you know. But anyway, but Skippy has now called a special session of the legislature to come in to – I guess I've got one article here from New York Post says to Trump-proof the state by trying to get more money extorted out of the legislature to give him money to fight in court.
Yeah, he's out of his mind. I mean, look, there is no one rooting harder for Kamala Harris to lose than Gavin Newsom. He may have been rooting harder, more so than Republicans, okay? Because that man wants to be president. That man is never going to be president, but that's what he has his eye on. So he's very happy that she lost. And now that's him planting his flag in the ground, saying, I'm the next generation for the Democrats to put forward for president. That's exactly what he's doing. You know, I mean, he didn't campaign very hard for her. He was, you know, strangely absent for most of the time. He, you know, tried to make it look good, but he really didn't because he wanted her to lose because he wants to be the guy. So, yeah, he's going to try to Trump-proof California, whatever that means. And meanwhile, he better look at the vote count because there's an awful lot of Californians who voted for Trump, and they weren't all Republicans.
Yeah, it's really been something to watch. Well, you know, geographically speaking, and this reminds me of, like, I have friends that I served with in the military that were from New York and others that were from Oregon. And in both cases, they told me that a huge swath of the state just wishes the big population centers would break off and become their own state so they could have their politics back where they know they are, because they're as conservative as we are in Alabama. And the same is true for, you know, the Northern California, but not really just Northern California. I can look straight down the eastern edge of the California. I can see red, 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 red.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, the problem is always you have these bigger cities and the coastal cities who are packed with people, and that's where a lot of the votes are coming from. But again, we saw a shift this last election cycle. So, you know, Gavin Newsom can try to Trump-proof California all he wants, but I don't know that Trump is going to let him get away with that. In fact, I think Trump already put out a statement on Truth Social saying, hold on there. This is going to be very fun to watch.
Yeah, it is going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I'm serious when I say we want California back. I mean, the amount of resources, the amount of people, the amount of seats in Congress, the amount of just the natural beauty of the state. You lived out there for a while. You served the state. And I, you know, I think back to, I said earlier before you came on the air, in Alabama, we literally had 136 straight years of Democrat control for our legislature, and then we swept it back in 2010, and we've had a Republican majority ever since. So it's not like it's not been but just recent history that we became a true red state. How far off the mark are you in terms of Republicans being able to take control of any portion of the legislature?
Well... Yeah, that's the problem. That's where, it's pretty far, but it's not undoable. I mean, like I said, just in the state assembly, you know, out of 80 members, we currently have 18 seats, but it looks like if, you know, things hold true, we'll pick up two more. So, you know, that would make it 20. Now, bear in mind, out of 80 seats, Republicans only having 20, you know, that means Democrats still have a majority.
Right.
But, you know, going back to what you said about Alabama, well, California, you know, produced Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And California hasn't always been, you know, deep, deep blue like it is now. It's certainly been blue for a long time, but it's not deep blue. So it's not impossible. And I just think that, you know, Democrats and the progressive element of the Democrat Party in particular, they keep pushing people's backs against the wall. And eventually people are just going to say, no, I'm not putting up. I'm going to stand up for myself. And I think, you know, that's what we're starting to see. Hopefully that momentum builds. But you know, people are, I mean, they're feeling it. You know, it's, the economy is terrible. I mean, gas in California is still just under $5 a gallon.
Oh,
in some
wow.
places, it is 5 or higher. Yeah, and that hasn't changed. You know, ever since that spike went into place where it was $5, in some place it was $7, it hasn't changed. So, and now, you know, they want to ban gas-powered vehicles. They've already passed a law saying no more gas-powered vehicles by the year 2035. They want everybody an electric vehicle. They just passed something that's going to increase our gas prices. And, you know, people can't afford it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when butter and milk is as expensive as it is and then add gas to it. And I just think not everybody can vote with their feet and move to Alabama, you know. And so the rest of us are going to stay here and fight and see what we can do to turn things around.
Well, you know, unfortunately, California has lost the U-Haul battle for the last several years. I don't even know, but there's a U-Haul survey they do. How many one-way trailers went out of each state, and California has had the one-way ticket for several
mm-hmm.
years now. But
That's right. Well, they should use Gavin Newsom as their, you know, their spokesmodel on their billboards and things. He certainly is doing a good job of drumming up business for him.
Holy cow. Yeah, him and Scott Wiener.
That's right.
Well, sister, we appreciate the fact that there are ruffians out there on the left coast that are still holding the line. But we'll just keep working from our end to hopefully send supplies in, and y'all keep the fight up, all right?
We need the support. We need the prayers. Just, you know, we surely appreciate it from all our friends across the country. And we're not done. We're not giving up. So thank you, Bill,
Absolutely.
For staying in the fight with us and helping us out.
All right. Former State Senator, California, Senator Melissa Melendez, we appreciate you. You have a great day.
You too, Phil. Thanks
all right,
so
bye-bye.
Much.
Oh, man. I want California back. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back. I'll catch up on a bunch of text messages. A bunch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. A bunch of y'all have been responding to the fact that we now have a daily email blast that goes out. Love to get you guys on it. If you'd like to know what the Right Side Report has got, I mean, it's things like what's our latest podcast, what are our latest written op-eds that are being published in newspapers around, you can get advanced copies of, what's going to be on the Triple Dipper before anybody else knows it. We send those things out. Plus, like, we're selling new merchandise. Like, I happen to know that we have new Right Side hats, shirts, and all on order right now. So stuff like that is all in the daily newsletter. And if you want to get a copy of the Right Side Report, we sent a text out earlier to everybody who's in our text lines. But if you're not in our text lines, all you got to do is go to 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And text the word, single word, newsletter. That's all you got to say, newsletter. And it gives you a link to sign up. So, yeah, join us. Right Side Report goes out every day. Raven from Russellville says, Colonel, I was listening to another show this morning, Chicks on the Right, and heard one of the Democrat spokesmen refer in a slurring way to Buttcrack, Alabama. Wow. Said I couldn't help but reply with directions on how to get there. JP's laughing on his side, too.
That was good.
He says, to wit, just down the road from the butt cheek and south and a little west of the belly button. He said, where are these Yankees buying their maps? Asking for a friend. D'Oppresso LeBert. Thank you for your service, my Green Beret brother, Raven from Russellville. Chris from Huntsville says, I trust the right will make certain to hold Trump accountable for all of his campaign promises. So far, he's already failed on one campaign promise of ending the war in Ukraine within 24 hours of being elected. Remember, y'all voted for these promises. Now make sure he sees them through. Kay, Chris from Huntsville, with the unrealistic
man.
Expectations.
Listen, Putin has already said within 24 hours he's now ready to negotiate. I'm sorry that Trump is probably too busy talking and fixing all of other Joe Biden's messes. He'll get to the Ukraine one shortly.
Yeah,
you know?
He's working
it's almost
it.
Like the guy in the White House should maybe get on that, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Exactly.
I saw he's already talked to 70 world leaders since he's gotten elected, Trump said.
So, has he really?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that.
So, yeah, I'm sorry if he's a little busy, but maybe that's something Joe Biden should do since, you know, he's the current sitting president.
Well,
you know?
we hear he is.
Yeah, that's what they allege.
He is the nominal vice president, at the very least. Luann from Huntsville does not care about California. Luann from Huntsville says, I have no interest in visiting California. To me, it's like Beirut. It's a foreign, woke world alien to many of us. I miss Reagan's California. That's the point, though, Luann. We want to bring it back to Reagan's California. You can't rebuild something unless you go walk the ground and start working to rebuild it. Anyway, she's not planning on even visiting there until the people of California make some changes. Well, Luann, I get it. I do get it. But you know what? There's a whole lot of value in going after it and getting busy. Ed P. from Huntsville says, oh, it's a long text. I'm not sure I can get all this. He says, I want to believe there's good people on both sides of the aisle, so to speak. However, it's very hard to believe that when the liberal left appears to be incapable of even entertaining the idea that their policies and approaches don't work and have been largely rejected by the American people, instead they just woke-splain. Yeah, that's a great word. Woke-splain that rank misogyny and racism are responsible for the outcome. They insist there is some mysterious right-wing media ecosystem that is somehow brainwashing the mindless masses. Never mind the actual left-wing media ecosystem made up of the mainstream media. Anyway, he says he's having trouble finding constructive conversations with people on the left. I get it. And right now, though, as surely as we are basking in the warm afterglow of the election, they are struggling to find out what life's going to be like and to make sense of it all. So give them a moment, and we can only pray that they will bring it back around. Cameron from Decatur says, let's see. Share this if you want to. He said, it's a small bit of your testimony I heard reminded me of myself. Okay, this is the testimony I talked about earlier in my my time on the monologue. He says, I was lost as a ball in the high weeds. My parents divorced. It was terrible. I lived with my three siblings and my mother, but it was very dysfunctional, as was my life. I chose to move in with my dad. It gave me some stability. It prepared me for turning my life over to Christ, which took place a few years later. Cameron, I'm glad to hear it, brother. Very glad to hear it. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, the environment's not everything, but sometimes the environment does help build the moments that we need. And so I'm glad yours worked out like it did, and I can sure relate. Brian from Huntsville talking about California. He reminds us about Fort Irwin, Mojave Desert, National Training Center. He said, I guess I did not get to see the pretty parts of California. Yeah. If you were at the NTC, you weren't literally just like at the whole place where maybe the tourists gather. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to step aside from politics for a minute and do a little JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama, this show goes like, whoa. Way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in, just for good measure. All right, we're gonna take a break from politics for a minute. It's been a week full, and rightfully so, because it's a target-rich environment for political speak. But every once in a while, you got to step back and recognize there's other things in life you got to care about. Sometimes it's sports. So in case you did not know, JP, who sits here in the studio with me every day pushing all the right buttons and adding his commentary, JP is like a sports aficionado. He's a guru. He's a savant of sports. He has his own show on Saturday mornings called Off the Bench on the Ump in Huntsville. You can hear him from 9 to 11. In fact, at this time, I think you've actually got, an interview with Tuberville on your show, right?
Yep, we will be joined by Coach Tuberville tomorrow to have an interview and discussion about NIL and this new era of college football. Unfortunately, he can't stay around to be our guest picker as well, so it'll probably just be me and Kelsey this week, but I think that's I'm very excited about that interview this Saturday.
I'm excited for you. Great show, 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. So Fridays we've taken to doing this thing since he knows his stuff so much. If you haven't listened to him before, you're gonna be amazed. No notes, he just goes. But we do the first section, we call it three and out, right? And then the second term, a second session, we call it the 2-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
So the three and out, your top three. What do we got to know, JP? Take it away.
Well, I'm sure if you're in the state of Alabama, you're aware.
Hold on, time out.
What's that?
We did not do your sound effect.
We did it.
We did not. You ready? Hit it. Got the loud applause. Got all of it. JP on sports. Okay, now we're good. Now we can do it.
All right, well,
three and out. Go for it.
If you are in the state of Alabama, especially if you're an Alabama fan, I'm sure you are aware that there's a big game this weekend of Alabama versus LSU in Death Valley. Alabama, with two losses, cannot afford any more losses to be in the college football playoff. The first 12-team playoff rankings came out this past week, and Alabama is at number 11. So as of now, Alabama is in the playoffs. So technically, every game from here on out is a play-in game for them. If they can win out, they're going to be in. But it's going to come down to this game, I think, mainly. After the LSU game, I feel pretty confident. They got to play at Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's struggling right now. Then they got to play Mercer, and then the Iron Bowl at home, which I think the Iron Bowl, with it being at home, will probably be Alabama's as of now, probably. But this game at LSU is the one I think is going to be.
So what you're saying is that Auburn has a chance to knock them out of the playoffs.
I'm saying that if they win the LSU game, you know, there's a chance, I guess, a chance, maybe not a great one, but a chance. But yeah, it comes down to this game in Death Valley for Alabama.
Death Valley is hard for anybody to go play in.
I would say it's the hardest place to play in college football, for sure.
Fans are just freaking rude.
LSU fans are very, very rowdy, and the place is massive, but it's also like right on top of you, like on the field. They're very loud, and they're one of the largest stadiums, and it's like right on top of the field. So it's that combination makes it very hard to play, and it's a night game at Death Valley, so it's going to be very hard for Alabama to go in there with a win, but if they do, I feel pretty good about Alabama's
chances. You got a prediction? You gonna lay it out there?
I predict it will be a close game either way. Obviously, my Alabama bias will say Alabama, but I'm very worried about this
game. So you're pragmatic on it.
I'm pragmatic. I'm very worried about this game, with it being at LSU. LSU, this is their game. I mean, this is their rivalry game, too, with it being at home. So it won't be easy. But like I said, if Alabama does pull out with a win, I feel pretty good about their playoff chances. So there's
all right. Three and out. You got number one. What's two?
Well, then there's another big game in the SEC of Ole Miss playing Georgia. This is another one of those cases with Ole Miss where if they win any chance at the playoffs, they cannot afford to lose this game. And Georgia is sitting at number three right now, the only loss coming to Alabama. I can't remember off the top of my head where the game is at, so I'll check that while breaking the game down for you here. But Georgia's looked better since the Alabama game, and you know they went into Austin and was able to pull off that impressive win, and it is at Ole Miss now that I'm checking. So that's big for it to be at Ole Miss as well. But like I said, Georgia, ever since the Alabama loss, has been on a roll. Carson Beck struggled against Florida last week, so the quarterback situation is a bit rocky for Georgia, but everybody else has been They picked up the slack, and they've been playing very well. But this game being at Ole Miss, you know, Lane Kiffin's offense is always going to be hard to guard. I think they're the second best offense in college football statistically behind Miami. So a very hard offense to defend against if you're Georgia. So I think it's going to come down to Carson Beck ultimately. If he can shake off that rough performance against Florida and be on his game, I think Georgia will have a good chance. But if he's not and he can't keep up with Ole Miss's high-powered offense, it may be an upset over in Mississippi. So
two big personality coaches too.
Oh yeah, Kiffin versus
Kirby.
Yeah. You know, there was a part of me when Saban retired that really wanted Kiffin to be his replacement. I don't know. I thought it would have been very fun.
It's always amusing. It's second only to Deion Sanders when Lane Kiffin takes the microphone and starts talking.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always going to be entertaining to watch a Lane Kiffin offense, you know, both him on the sidelines and his offense, how they play. So Georgia's got their hands full defensively. But if Carson Beck can play well, I think Georgia should win it. But if he doesn't and can't keep up, like I said, with Ole Miss's offense, that's an interesting game. We could see an upset there. You know,
all right.
I'm not calling it, but I'm saying maybe. There's a possibility there.
There's a maybe.
Yeah, possibility.
All right. Okay, so we'll see where that goes. Three and out. You got two. What's third?
Well, Army is still undefeated.
Army!
Army is still undefeated.
I'm an Army man.
Yes.
I'm an Army man now. I mean, I'm an Auburn fan, but I'm an Army man, so you know what I'm saying.
So Navy, unfortunately, dropped their first loss to Notre Dame not too long ago, but Army is still undefeated, and with the first college football rankings, they're ranked 25th right now. They play North Texas this upcoming weekend, but it's fun. It's fun to have a triple option team like Army be really good. I mean, Army and Navy with the triple option offenses were like top 10 offenses in the nation, averaging like 40 points a game, which is like unheard of for me to see an offense like that do that well. But Army is continuing to do well. So we'll see if against North Texas they can keep that going. But with the college football rankings coming out and them still being ranked, I think is it's a very big deal because, you know, when Navy was undefeated, it was the first time Army and Navy were ranked in the same poll since like the 40s or something. Yeah. You know, it's been a long time. So Army is still being undefeated and ranked now. And not only the AP poll, but the college football playoff rankings is it's fun. I like it.
So speaking of, do we have any individual players at Army that are looking at a possible career in the NFL, but they've also got to serve out their military tour?
No, not really. Not I think they just collectively play it at the unit. Yeah, I think with the transfer portal and NIL, I'm not sure actually, now that I say that, I'm not sure if the service academies can offer NIL.
I don't think they can.
But I think the transfer portal helps a lot with that. You know, there's a lot of players who, you know, maybe are very talented that the Army or the Navy, the service academies can pick up for the transfer portal if they can't get them out of high school.
Yeah,
I think that sort of levels the playing field for them.
We need to look into that because I'm not even sure that they can transfer in like that because the portal, you have to have an appointment by a congressional member to be able to go to one of the service academies, typically speaking, unless you get picked up like through a green to gold kind of program out of the enlisted ranks. But so I'm not sure if you can portal in or even portal out because once you're there, you're under contract. So I'm not sure you can.
Service Academy athletes can use the transfer portal to leave the academy. However, military academies typically don't accept transfer students in the same way that civilian schools do. Maybe it's possible, but I guess you have to go through a lot of hoops and ladders there to make it possible.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I think the new era of college football has benefited Army to be able to compete. And, you know, like I said, there's not really one player that's doing it. I think as a unit, they just, you know, they've been playing really well. But it's funny that Army and Navy are having such great years in the same season.
Yeah, I look forward to the Army-Navy game. What week is that going to be?
The week after.
Rivalry week.
Yeah, so the week after conference championship games will be that one. I still think it's a possibility that we could get back-to-back Army-Navy games if Army and Navy both make the conference championship. I think that's still a possibility as of now. So
wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
You play again.
Yeah. But then what's funny is if you're the playoff committee and then, you know, Army wins one, Navy wins the other, it's like, what do you do? Who do you put in at that point? They're 1-1 against each other.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned NIL, and since we got a couple of minutes, that's the three and out. Give us a prelude real quick for Tuberville's interview. How did it go for those who are going to listen tomorrow morning? Give them a prelim, kind of a sneak peek.
It went really good. Coach Tuberville is very fired up as a legislator on this. And, you know, he's in a very unique –
On NIL.
Yes, on NIL. He's in a very unique position because he's got skin in the game in the sense of he's been at the top of college football as a coach in the SEC, and now he's in position as a senator to help fix this mess. So it's not like he's somebody, you know, as a congressman that is sort of out of touch. Like, he's been in the game at the top and knows college football. So having him as a voice up there of, you know, somebody who's been in college football and knows the game is huge, and he's very passionate about it. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate him, using his platform to help fix college football in that sense because, you know, this – And he even mentions this in the interview of the Democrats. They want a union for college athletes. It's like, and Tuberville is like, that's crazy. You know, these are student athletes. So all that to say, it's really nice to have somebody who's been in the game at that level to help influence the decision making and fix the mess of NIL right now. So I think people will enjoy the interview greatly tomorrow, and make sure to tune in for it.
All right. Outstanding. Three and out there. You're with JP on sports. I think that's round one. We'll come right back. He jumps into the next section. We do it. We call the two-minute warning. He has 2 minutes for each topic to get as much as he can said on it and then move to the next one. We actually keep a timer going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, JP on sports. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, coming up top of the hour, don't forget Birdman's calling in. You'd be amazed at the amount of wokeness that is bound up in video games. Well, he's got some insight on that. We're going to talk to him about it. That's a 4 o'clock hour interview with the Birdman. Let's go back now to JP on sports. So this is round two of JP on sports. We break it up into what we call the two-minute warning. So I've got a timer. He's got topics, but he's got 2 minutes to go for each. Sports, 2 minute warning. Take it.
Well, college basketball is now underway. Alabama and Auburn both had their opening games this week, where Alabama won 110-54 against UNC Asheville, and then Auburn won 94-43 against Vermont. So, two beatdowns. But like I said, like I've said before, I think the two best college basketball teams in the SEC are in the state of Alabama, with Alabama and Auburn. So, Alabama, number two right now, the highest preseason ranking in their program history. Auburn also at number 11. So strong opening games for both teams. There's going to be a little, stretch of cupcake games before they get into some good out-of-conference games, and then conference
cupcake
games, obviously.
Games.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they are. I mean, it's Vermont and UNC Asheville, no disrespect to them. I doubt we have any UNC Asheville Vermont fans listening, but
never
you never know. but I think, obviously the start of the season is making sure teams kind of get in their groove and figure out, who needs to play where and such. So there's going to be a few of those games. But once we start rolling into some good out-of-conference games and then conference play, I think it'll be very interesting to see if how these two teams fare out. And It'd also be really fun if we get an Alabama-Auburn game, the first matchup, 1-2 in the SEC, or both tied at 1 in the SEC. That would be fun, because the Iron Bowl in football obviously gets a lot of attention in the state, but I think it's fun for basketball, too, to be, the top two teams. It'd be a fun game to watch. And football fans, when the football season's over, they get two Iron Bowl matchups on the court that are two great teams, too. So I think that's very fun.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Fun to have.
And so March Madness is still a long ways away, but you feel like we could see Auburn, Alabama take it all the way to the house.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Alabama, some people are saying roster-wise, just names, probably one of the best rosters in the country. And Auburn, too, has Jani Broom returning. And so they have a lot of experienced guys coming back. So Auburn's going to be very good as well.
2 minutes, you hit it. All right, right on the dot. Let's go ahead and reset the clock. 2 minute warning. Sports, take it.
Well, I mentioned earlier, talking college football, the first 12 team playoff rankings came out. The first half of the season, or a little bit more than half of the season, is the AP poll, and then we eventually start getting to the point where the college football playoff committee starts to release their rankings, and then those are the rankings that will determine who gets into the playoffs eventually at the end of the year. So this past week, we had the first college football playoff committee rankings, and they often, they're often pretty different from the AP poll. They do it in a very different way, obviously. Instead of just journalists, making their rankings, the College Football Playoff Committee has, ADs, former ADs, guys who are more tied into the game itself do their rankings and rank it based off who they think's the best, eye test wise. So we saw a bit of shifting around. Ohio State was number two in this one, where they were number three, I believe, in the AP poll. Georgia's at number three. Oregon, obviously, still at number one. But like I said earlier, talking about Alabama slid into the playoffs in this one. They were 13th, I believe, still in the AP poll, so just outside of the bubble. But they are now in the playoffs in the playoff committee ranking as of now. So like I said, every game's a play-in game for them. But yeah, so now we're going to be at a point where we now see a playoff picture before us. With AP poll, we kind of just speculated, but now that we see where the playing field kind of is, teams have a better gauge of where they're at, if they're on the bubble or they're in as of now. So I like that. I like to see the playoff committee rankings when they start to come out. I think they're a better representation overall. So,
all right, you made it in under the 2 minutes. All right, let me reset the clock. Next topic, 2 minutes, go.
This is a funny story, so I thought I'd talk about this one. So Indiana right now is having an undefeated season. I don't have the exact list in front of me, but it's the first time they've had an undefeated season in a long, long time. The Hoosiers are not really known for football, but they have this new coach in there who actually is a part of the Saban tree of coaches, and so they're having a great year. But with the election that happened earlier this week, he actually got 500 votes in Indiana to be the president of the United States. So Kurt Cignetti, who is leading the Hoosiers to their first undefeated season in a long time, has won the hearts of the Hoosier fans so much that they want him as president.
So 500 of them wrote him in.
500 people wrote him in to be president of the United States. So I'm very interested to see if Jeff from Indiana has any input on that. If him being from the area, how much they love this new coach. But yeah, he's making Indiana football great again. So there's that.
And did you say Saban tree?
He's part of the Saban tree.
I've never heard of the Saban tree. I've mean, I know what you mean.
But. Yeah, the coaching tree. So he was under Saban. I don't know his exact position, but he was a coach under Saban at Alabama at one point. And it's funny, he has a famous clip of when he did his press conference for when they introduced him as coach. He said, as part one of his little clips, he was like, "I win. Google me." He has a great record of where he's at of undefeated teams. So, but yeah, I thought that was really funny that 500 people in Indiana thought that he was worthy to be president of the awesome. United States.
Awesome. You made it in barely under the wire again on the 2 minutes. So 2 minute warning, you got time for one more. I think you do. Go for it.
Yeah, I can come up with one here. I mean, this is a little bit of a sad one, but I don't know if many people have paid attention. If you're a big college football fan, you've seen Kirk Herbstreit with his dog everywhere. You know, he brings his dog to every game he goes to. He's become like a celebrity, like an icon in college football world, Ben the Golden Retriever. But unfortunately, that Herbstreit posted that that he had to put his dog down this past week. So the college football world is sad this week. And remembering Ben's memory. There's been a lot of posts of funny videos of Ben, and Herbstreit's been posting a lot of videos of Ben as a puppy to remember him. But yeah, he's become a celebrity this year, so it's been really sad to see him go. But rip Ben.
Well, yeah, that's never good. Worst experience of my life, just about, was losing ours. All right, you did it. You got in. Yeah. You got in one of them on the buzzer, and the others you got in just under the buzzer. 2 minute warning. JP on sports, as always, man. Good job. You can hear him every Saturday morning on the Ump out of Huntsville, 9 to 11. He and Kelsey do Off the Bench talking sports, and tomorrow they got an interview with coach/senator Tommy Tuberville. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next. Going to talk to Birdman and do some woke stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, all right, we're going to kick off. So we haven't done this in several weeks. Politics has been so dominant that we've not been able to do one of our usual segments. But you know the deal, y'all. Every once in a while, I'm resourcing the show early in the morning, getting ready to bring you all the information you need to have those water cooler conversations, to be able to refute liberals as they say things to you, to be able to know that you know that you know where you stand as a conservative. And I find myself looking at the resources going, look at the wokeness. How much wokeness can there be? I mean, for crying out loud. How much? And the next thing, I got a smorgasbord. I've got a charcuterie of wokeness, if you will. I've got an entire buffet, a vast cornucopia, a plethora of wokeness. That means it's time for another round of Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Well, listen, we're going to kick off Adventures in Woke World a little different than usual by bringing in one of our team. One of our, you know, Right Side Media is the parent company. Right Side Radio is what you're listening to. It's just one of our overall presentations. But Right Side Media has podcasts and written op-eds and social media, all the stuff. But one of the guys who creates a lot of content for us is our very own Birdman. Birdman's got a video podcast that comes out every Friday, brand new edition out today. It's called Right Click. And Right Click is basically, if you're into tech, if you're into gaming, if you're into just basically knowing the ins and outs of the high-tech world, well, Birdman is that guy, and he weaves the conservative message into that. He also calls out the wokeness when he sees it, and he's on the line right now. Birdman, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. How are you guys doing today?
We're good, brother. We're good. By the way, thank you for joining us the other day on the live stream on election night.
Oh, absolutely. It was a blast. I was so glad to be a part of that.
The new studio looks mighty fine, too, does it not?
Oh, it's awesome. You guys, awesome job, really.
Well, we're excited about it. All right, your latest podcast is out today, and it is called what?
It's called What Did I Miss? I was on vacation, and boy, did things fall off the rails.
Yeah, you took a week, and then you come back, and like things have changed. I understand.
Yeah.
But, all right, you did an appearance on another radio show the other morning, and you talked about, speaking of wokeness, you talked about in the gaming industry, you keep finding places where woke is infiltrating the very game itself. Like they've totally lost sight of it's there for entertainment and competition and fun, actually. And they're just, the messaging is changing. Tell me what you found.
Yeah, I have coined a new phrase, let's call it, and I have been using it a lot. Delusion begets delusion. It seems to be something that we just cannot get away from in the pop culture world. Obviously, my biggest, you know, passion is video games and all of that, but I got to tell you, when I saw something, there's a game called Dragon Age. It's a beloved game series. It's been around for ages. They recently put out something called Dragon Age: The Veilguard. It's their newest installation. And there wasn't a lick of this that had to do with making a good game or a good product. It was only about the message. It's always about the message, right? And boy, did they take that to the nth degree. Top surgery, scars, all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Like the characters are designed so that you can be woke with your character or what? What are you saying?
Yes. So their whole thing is that if you want to go play the game at the start of it, you have a character creator. So you can make it as similar to you as you want it. Even so far, insofar as including top surgery scars. And there's a lot of other stuff, mind you. But you should know that all of the creative directors and everything made sure to tell people that at the forefront of development was inclusivity. That's a direct quote.
Oh, here you go.
Yep, you're waiting on it. I know. Yep, it's always there. And normally it's under the surface. This time it was the chip on the shoulder.
So literally, you buy the game. I'm assuming you have to spend money to either get it or download it, right?
Oh, and yes. Then, 60 or 70 bucks.
Yeah, and then you've got it, and then you got all this stuff. Is this one of those you can actually play online with other folks, and they're coming into your sphere and playing the game that you're in?
Actually, no. So this is a single-player game.
Oh, really?
Dragon Age has been it's exactly what it sounds like, right? It's the Age of Dragons. I mean, that's the whole gist, right? It's an old-school... It's been around forever, and it's always been just a sci-fi single-player game. They have always had some level of character creator and stuff like that, and that's never been a problem. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fiction, right? It's a fiction scenario. And boy, did they do their best to pump fiction into it, because it doubles down on itself. I'll put it this way. I got something pulled up here on my end that I've been looking at because I'm just stunned by it. But they actually have, as part of the core storyline, a sit-down with your parents for dinner where you come out as non-binary.
Come on. In the game?
In the game. I mean, I got a buddy who bought this game just to review it, just to see how bad it actually is, and it ended up being worse. He's 20 hours into it, and then found that there is a path that you can take where the only... dialogue option that you get to choose from, and that's the whole gist. You make your own story to some degree. You get to a point where the only dialogue options you have, it force you to turn your character trans.
Come on. I mean, this is...
It's not a game.
It's not a game. It's an agenda. That's exactly what... Yeah. It's not a game. It's an agenda. But I mean, is it selling? Is it popular?
So I actually discussed that today on today's episode of Right Click. I'll give you a little teaser of it. No, it's one of those things that, you know, they have really gone out of their way, right, to try to press on this. But at its peak, it had 77,000 players at its peak all time, which you look at that and go, well, 77,000 is a lot of people. Well, when you put millions and millions and millions into a game's development, yeah, and then you turn around and you only get 70,000 people, you do that math, you're making no money. Well, if you compare it to a game that just broke every record, its all-time peak, that's called Black Myth Wukong, its peak was 2.4 million players. It's just not in the same category.
So this is like, if this was Hollywood, this would be a box office bust, is what we're saying.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we've seen some really bad stuff in the video game world recently. We've seen some major flops, like 60 concurrent players kind of thing. Those are outliers, and we love to rag on them as much as the next thing, but... In all seriousness, Dragon Age is a very beloved IP and has been around for a long time with a cult following. And right now, the cult following is the only thing that's keeping this game even remotely alive.
So was it designed, this new version of it, was it designed as a throwaway so they could get some kind of woke bona fides out of it, you know, and say, look how woke we are. We did a thing and get their ESG rating up. Or was this really intended to become a very popular thing because the designers are all in? What do you think?
You know, I go back and forth on that, to be completely honest with you. I've talked about this over the last several episodes of Right Click, because the one thing I keep mulling over is the just destruction of not just video games, of movies, of TV shows. You know, we saw how Marvel took that nosedive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what I've narrowed it down to is that we're in an age of passionless development. I think that's really more than anything else what it comes down to. People don't care about making a great game anymore. They can't care about being part of the message. And by the way, just as the final twist of the dagger here, there are people, I kid you not, who are posting their custom-made character from Dragon Age on social media, and people are running at them to cancel them for it because it's not accurate enough to their actual skin tone and things of that nature.
That's just you're too far gone at that point. You've forgotten it's a game. It's become your existence. But there's other games. I mean, you've reviewed some others, I know for a fact, here of late, that had some disturbing messages or twists in them. Throw a few of those at us real quick before we run out of time.
I mean, there's been a lot of stuff lately. Even Call of Duty has had their little twists of the knife. A lot of the stuff that we're seeing lately is really turning into the streamers twisting things. You know as well as I do, video game streaming is extraordinarily popular. That's where we're seeing the real idiotic twist of reality. I mean, even so far as people saying like a top Twitch streamer is just openly allowed to go on like anti-Semitic rants and stuff like that. The game is never about the game anymore. Regardless of what it is, what gets clicks are these people who are twisting good and wholesome things into just completely disgusting nonsense. And even so far as the game engines, what you develop and build this game on, the software that you develop it on, have been getting controversy where they have been speaking out publicly about how gay rights and this that kind of stuff is being attacked. And it's like, you're there as software for people to use. It's open source. What are we doing? So it's all stemming.
So let me ask you this, with about 2 minutes left here. So in for instance, Right Side Media, we talk at the conservative viewpoint of news and worldview and that kind of thing. Within every industry, you have those magazines, those periodicals, those websites, those podcasts where they rank things and rate things and review things. Is there a conservative version of that for gaming that is calling these people out? Is there anybody out there saying that was stupid, or are they just letting it go?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've found one that has one writer that has been really unafraid to say things. I haven't seen a lot of news around that. I'll be honest, my friends and I, we write for stuff. I'm not going to sit here and plug our stuff. We've seen such a gap in it because it just doesn't seem like anybody in this realm wants to speak out. And I think ultimately you and I both know what it is. The smallest groups have the loudest voices. They just yell the loudest. And right now, we know that the gaming industry is not predominantly a demographic of these type of people. They're really more like me, and they just don't. They want to play a game. They don't want to fight. So nobody's speaking out. And I personally, that's one thing I've been talking about on a lot of my articles with Right Side Media. It's just, we have to speak out. It's just, we can't just sit back anymore.
Yeah, totally agree. So what you're telling me is Right Side Media is ahead of the power curve on this one by having a Right Click podcast.
You know, not to just sit here and pat myself on the back, but nobody's doing things like Right Side Media is. We're in a very unique vein, and more people need to realize how much we're speaking on the right things right now.
Very good. I love the plug. All right, listen, we're going to call it there, brother, but the Right Click podcast is available on the Right Side Media website, rightsidemedia.org. Latest edition out today. And Birdman, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, talk to you soon. We'll take it to a break. I ran long because I wanted to fit that in. But listen, the Right Click podcast, if you've got folks in your family that are tech-oriented, that are gamers, that love this kind of stuff, the Right Click podcast is a safe place to go. And it gives a perspective of, yes, the gaming industry is huge. It's a big part of people's lives, but it's got a lot of woke in it, and you better watch out. Right Click podcast, available at rightsidemedia.org. Phil Williams, More Adventures in Woke World. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So we're in Adventures in Woke World. Just listen, I feel certain, JP, you got some sound effects you're going to be using on this segment, man. So if the first part of Adventures in Woke World was Birdman talking about how the gaming industry has gotten so woke that some games now are incorporating things like you can have your top surgical scars on your avatar character. And I'm like, what the heck? It's just, you know what, whatever happened to having the big hairy beast with a sword, just go for it, man. I've got an article here from the Daily Caller. Is it possible the Democrats will ever figure out that a part of what cost them the election was their absolute mania about pushing wokeism? I don't know. But Chris Cuomo himself, yes, Chris Cuomo. Phil, did you call on Chris? I did, Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo himself, actually on his podcast, The Chris Cuomo Project, which I believe is also on News Nation, he said that the wokest out there in the left, the wokest are part of what lost the election. Now, I agree the economy and the border are it, but if you look at it, the things in the economy were embedded with, like, the Green New Deal was just blasting money into the economy and getting nothing done, and the open borders policies, I mean, so the economy and the border are also driven in part by woke policies. Well, Chris Cuomo says, you're forcing new social norms on people in this country. No, I'm not. We're just doing what's fair. Trans people have rights too. He says, yes, but if it's communicated as if you must be forced to accept it and be indoctrinated with ideas, is that fair? That's not what we're doing. And he said, that's the women in sports thing. It happens a lot, like immigrant crime. And he went on to basically say, wokeism is part of why we lost. James Carville, the mouth of the South. That guy, how old is that guy? I mean, he looks like a shriveled apple.
He's pretty old.
Yeah, he's like Yoda talking to us now. Oh, lost the election, you did.
That was good.
Weak on the force you were. Democrat strategist James Carville on Wednesday noted the woke era was a factor that hurt Democrats in the election. He says, quote, we got beyond it. The image stuck in people's mind that Democrats wanted to fund the police. They want empty prisons. You know, the immigration stuff. Big mistake. More importantly, it created to a perception of disorder. Yes. Yes, it did. But let's talk about some of the wokeisms. Like, I'll be honest with you. One of the things that's got to change is what I would call the mollycoddling of America's youth. I mean, JP, you sitting here in studio just restores my faith in your age group. Just saying. Your demographic, every once in a while I read these things. And I go, my gosh, would a batch of 18 to 20 year olds still go ashore at Normandy if we had to? But I know you would.
We're few and far between, but we're still out there.
You're still out there. Yeah. I think there's a lot more of you than we know.
Yeah.
Let me run down. this boggles my mind. I'm not sure how much of this I can get out before the break. I may be laughing too hard. So there's a number of universities around the nation that have decided that it is very important after the election to sort of be there for the students who may be having a hard time. And I got news. They would not have done that if Harris had won. They wouldn't. But, like, for instance, Georgetown University announced that college students were invited to a self-care suite on the day after the election in case they needed some special attention. There would literally be milk and cookies and hot cocoa, as well as Lego toys and coloring books to get their minds. This is friggin' Georgetown University.
Wow.
Did we just go to break?
Apparently so. Loud and clear.
Now listen, I got a whole litany of these that's going to wind up just curling your hair, making you throw something, or just laugh. Adventures in Woke World will be more. We're right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I mean this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, I got to remind you guys, so we have Right Side Media, the parent company of Right Side Radio, has just started a daily email blast that gives you all kinds of stuff. I mean, we send you this one email in the morning, and it'll have everything from what the Triple Dipper is going to be that day on the radio show to what the latest podcasts are to whether you can buy a new Right Side hat if you want to and see the latest op-ed that's been written and published around the newspapers in the region. All this stuff is in the Right Side Report email. If you'd like to be on the Right Side Report email distribution, we'd love to have you. All you got to do is on this text line that we always use, text the word newsletter by itself, just newsletter, one word, newsletter to 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. Just text the word newsletter. It'll send you a link, and you just fill it out, and next thing you know, you're getting a newsletter from us daily, and we'd love to have you in the string. I am doing Adventures in Woke World. The wokeists are out there, y'all, and they are, right now, they are, the Trump derangement syndrome has bled over into a manic depression at the backside of the election, and it is found in spades on America's university campuses. I find myself hard to believe this is real. But I just, right before the break, I started talking about campuses that are literally not preparing kids for the real world. They're not. I don't know. The mollycoddling, we talk about helicopter parents. My gosh, how about helicopter professors? Like I said right before the break, Georgetown University, Washington, D.C. This is Georgetown. It's like, this is big doings, Georgetown. Totally being mocked because after the election, they opened a self-care suite where they would serve milk and cookies and hot cocoa and have Lego and coloring books for students to ease their mind and get their minds off of election results. What? I know. You look at it and go, for the love of God, people, you're growing up to be like adults and you're not. How about this one? Harvard. Harvard actually canceled classes. Harvard, JP, you need to be on the camera so I can see your face, man.
That, I did not know that. That's unbelievable.
Harvard reported that several professors in the sociology, math, and the general education departments all canceled their classes, with one of them, economics lecturer Maxim Boyko, reportedly telling his students that he would not have any in-class quizzes. They would be optional on Wednesday because if they needed time to process the results of the election, it was understandable. You can't make this stuff up. Wait, there's more. You think I'm done? Look at the list of highlights I've got right here. How about out in Tacoma, Washington, the University of Puget Sound? You know where this is going.
Yeah.
They're having a whole full week of self-care election activities for stressed students. Students are invited to walk through a walkable labyrinth with calm lighting and music to recharge their mental health in an arts and crafts corner, or to make a collage in a supported space for election processing, and there will be special support spaces for LGBTQ students and students of color to talk about their election anxieties. What? Make this stop. No, there's more. I'm sorry, there's more. I can't make it stop. There's more. How about University of Oregon? They may be number one in the polls right now in football, but a lot of that campus couldn't go on the field and get anything done, let me just tell you. The University of Oregon, they're Quactavius the therapy duck.
Oh my gosh.
They have baby therapy goats. Baby therapy goats. They have therapy dogs being brought to campus to promote well-being and lessen anxiety for students. Baby therapy goats?
I can't even.
You're going to wear out that laugh button.
I know. It's
baby therapy goats. God, I'm not making this stuff up. How about Virginia Tech? Not Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Come on, Vatech. Vatech, you're allowed to play with therapy dogs, do arts and crafts, or join a guided stretching class as part of the Election Day activities organized by the Counseling Center, with a full day of self-care activities, including yoga classes, restorative dialogue, and therapy dog hours offered to process the election results. What? Oh, no. Wait, there's more. Oh, Wolverine Dan's going to love this one. The University of Michigan School of Social Work invited students to attend various post-election activities, including an empowering art therapy workshop to process the emotions that may have been stirred up by the election season. Not to be outdone. not to be outdone because, you know, they got two Michigans. So Michigan State University, one of the MSU professors went viral, canceled her class to allow students to grieve, she said. She said, I'm canceling class today to grieve the presidential election results. As a queer immigrant woman of color, I cannot in good conscience go on about my day like everything is all right. Just called in. I mean, it's like, okay, somebody calls in sick, right? You know, whatever happened to things like, you know, blue flu, when the police decide to take a day off, they all call in sick. They don't call in and say, I'm a queer immigrant woman of color, and I cannot go on about my day like things are all right.
Are these colleges or kindergarten classes?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because I actually have, I got more comments, but there's a comment right here from an Emily Sturge, who works for a group called Campus Reform, trying to get the wokeness off the campuses. She said, these activities belong in a daycare, not an institution of higher learning. Life is hard. It's full of hard work, hurt feelings, sadness, and tragedy. Our great-grandparents fought through World War II with sacrifice and grit, not with coloring books and puppy petting.
Yeah.
They faced obstacles and opposition head on. Universities need to return to preparing the next generation to not only survive in the real world, but to thrive. I will go one step further.
Oh, no.
A very prominent private school, apparently, in New York City. It's called the Ethical Cultural Feldstone School. Ethical Cultural. Why would you name your school that?
You could just stop at the title.
Right, I know. Where'd you go to high school? Well, I went to Ethical Cultural Feldstone. I don't even want to read it now. Yeah, I don't know the name. Anyway, they excused absences for high school students, feeling that they might not be able to fully engage in their classes. No additional homework would be assigned on election day. No student assignments would be given on Wednesday. And psychologists would be available to provide counseling, the New York Times reported ahead of election day. This is absolutely how we don't win future wars.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. This is how we do not win future wars. But I've got one more. She has an article all on her own. I pulled this from the TB Daily News. Oh, my gosh. So, her name is Jackie Merrill. And Jackie Merrill is a professor at Worcester State University. Worcester State, which, by the way, is spelled as Worcester, but it's Worcester. Mm. Worcester State University has spent most of her career working in academia. In other words, she never had a real job, is what the article says. And she comes on her social media and says, I know that many of you are devastated by the outcome of the election. It's no secret that Donald Trump, you know, won. And she says, you may have stayed up all night obsessively refreshing the AP map of taken states like I did. You're probably exhausted, frightened, angry, and depressed. I anticipate that you will, if you haven't already, cry today. I hope you have a shoulder to cry on, another voice to cry with, and a family of some kind to support you. Please don't hesitate to reach out to speak to me during, before, or after class this week, and to seek out help from the counseling center. You are not alone. I'm just... This is awful.
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on, you know, college, and, you know, Charlie Kirk has, you know, one of his main talking points is college being a scam.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think what all you just read off and the indoctrination and coddling happening in colleges right now, it's a shame, and it's, you know, they won't only do that, but they'll take about hundreds, thousands of dollars for you to pay to go to those schools, you know, and it's a mess.
There's it's before your time. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but a group called the Indigo Girls, and I'm pretty sure they're liberal. Just saying,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're very liberal. But they had a great song called "Closer to Fine," which is a great acoustic song. But "Closer to Fine" had a line. I've always loved this line. She's talking about being in college, and she had a professor of philosophy with a portrait of Rasputin and a beard down to his knee. And he told her all the things she had to know about life. And then she said, I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. I got my paper and I was free. And I look at it and go, if this woke world stuff that we're talking about is, yes, I would say the same is true. Hang on, I'm not done.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to keep hammering the universities. All right, the same University of Colorado that hired Deion Sanders, The same one. Of course, we had Michigan, Michigan State just a minute ago.
Yeah.
Of course, we also had Oregon just a minute ago. University of Colorado, you may be interested to know that so the Texas Tech Red Raiders, they apparently have a guy who does game day T-shirts. And he always coordinates with the opposing school because if there's going to be a game day T-shirt, it's going to be them versus them, right?
Yeah.
So the Red Raiders against whoever. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's going to be Red Raiders, Texas Tech Red Raiders welcoming Big Tech, Big 12 conference newcomer Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so he sends them the design for the shirt. Storyline yesterday. I pulled this off of KCBD News in Colorado. So this company that does these T-shirts, he says he sent the design to Texas Tech. It was immediately approved. He sent the same design to Colorado. They rejected it. He sent it. He went ahead and asked for feedback. He didn't get any. So he's on a time limit. He's got to work with here. So he sent back a kind of a modified design and said, "How about this one?" And they again rejected it. And he said, "I need some feedback on what we're doing." University of Colorado declined the T-shirt because, in their words, they were not going to be participating in a Colorado-based T-shirt that has an American flag on it. Yes. Yes, it did. Yes, the University of Colorado said it was not interested. It said at that point, we pressed a little more. We were told they will not be licensing a product that has an American flag on it. University of Colorado. What is happening? I want California back, but I want Colorado back. I love Colorado.
Colorado's great. It's one of my favorite places. Absolutely. I've been to when I travel. It's beautiful, and it's a shame.
It's a crying shame. Adventures in Woke World, everybody. We wore out the laugh track on that one, but listen, that's just, I mean, for the love of God, can we please raise up the next generation of warriors and fighters? Now, they're still out there. I know they are. JP's living proof, but the reality is, there's some people growing up on some of these college campuses right now. I shouldn't say it that way. They're not growing up on these college
campuses.
They're grown
up on there.
Yeah, adulting's very hard. Adulting is very hard. Get a helmet. How about that? Life's hard. Get a helmet. Take me to a break, JP. We'll take the last break of the day on a Friday afternoon on a post-election basking in the warm glow, Republican, conservative, happy, going to the weekend guy, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, do not forget, this is a Veterans Day weekend. This being a veteran-friendly show, me being a veteran myself, we're going to be taking Monday. So we've already submitted what we call a best of compilation. It's going to be several of the pieces from the last few days post-election that'll be replayed on Monday afternoon. So we will not be with you live on Monday, but we look forward to being back with you again on Tuesday. A couple of text messages real quick. Badger from Athens says, "Thank you all for great shows all week. God bless. Have a great weekend. And thank you to all those who serve and have served." Badger, excellent. Thank you, brother. Ed P. from Huntsville says, "Phil had a busy day today." How busy? Busier than the shredders at the DOJ. You're still using that laugh track. Travis from Huntsville says, "Hey, Phil, just so you know, your comment on James Carville resembling Yoda owned me. Thank you for an awesome show. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you for your service." Thank you, Travis. Appreciate you, man. Metal Man Josh from Elkmont says, off topic here, but had a crowd around me at work and told me that I'd give someone $20 to tell me what number President Benjamin Franklin was on. The most popular answer was number 3, but no one knew the answer was president, was never president. Franklin was never president. My gosh. Let me go to the phones real quick. Our friend Allie from Athens is on there. Hey, Allie, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Colonel, and I have just one thought-provoking question.
What you
ready?
Got? Yeah, sure.
What I want to know is, if the milk that is being paired with the coping cookies is cow milk or black fly larva milk?
Oh, what no. Didn't bring the...
I did. I had to.
Oh, that's right up there with fake meat. I mean, the black fly larva, I just never... By the way, how many black flies do they have to get a gallon of milk? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. You would think it would cause extinction.
Little bitty udders on those things, just squeezing them out. I don't understand. It's just, I don't get it.
It's so wrong.
That's awful. I'm grossing myself out now. Allie, you have a great weekend. We love you. We appreciate you.
Too,
all right. See
you.
Wow. Wow. Ugh. Wow. Yeah. Jeff from Indiana checked in. He says, hey, Phil, if the University of Colorado doesn't want anything with the American flag on it, they could certainly just not accept American dollars with In God We Trust on them. You know what? That's a great point, because I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of federal dollars flowing in there at the very least through grants, Pell Grants, and GI Bills and all of it. Grades are in. John from Huntsville says, Phil and Birdman both get an A+ for their equally fantastic performances. However, today's winner is obviously JP, with a nearly perfect A++ for his awesome sound effect skills. Congratulations. Also, he says, I want to know if JP is going to watch any of the Iowa versus UCLA football game tonight.
I probably will be, since there's not much other sports on tonight. And I'll take Iowa in that game. UCLA is not very good.
Iowa tonight. All right. And by the way, Republicans took Iowa too. Whoa! Did I say that? Yes, I did. We got a call again. I'll take one last call before the show is over. Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing well, Colonel. It's been a wonderful week, and I've got a ways to go. I wanted to give you congratulations. I got a newsletter from Defending the Republic, Good News Friday, and lo and behold, number 8 was an article from Right Side Media.
Really? I did not know this.
Defending the Republic, Good News Friday. If you get JP to give me a email address, and I'll send it to you.
All right, man. We appreciate that. Right, and listen. Thanks for letting us know, Thomas. We appreciate you too.
Hey, God bless. God bless for all you do, Colonel.
Thank you, man. Have a great weekend. Blessings on you. That's cool. You know what? We keep finding out that we pop up here and there and don't even realize it, but. But yeah, that's good news. Lisa from Huntsville checked in, said, with regards to all the universities and the wokeness, said if conservatives did this, they tell us just to suck it up or be convicted for election denying. I said, I always thought Mama was hard on me, but thank the good Lord she taught me to deal with disappointment and move on. I know, whatever happened to the days when you would literally talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I mean, kids got to know how to lose once in a while, too. Not that we want them to be losers, but you got to know how to handle the stuff that comes your way. Ken from Harvest says, maybe we as Republicans ought to send to these institutions a higher learning cases of straws so they can just suck it up. Yes, but don't send them paper straws, because that's what they have
that's
to have.
That's what I was just about to say. Send them the paper straws.
You know you were thinking it. Marie from Madison says, I heard from a friend that some government agencies were literally having post-election stress sessions on Teams and Zoom for those who were having issues coping with the results of the election right here in Huntsville. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. If anybody recorded a government agency having a post-election stress session on a Zoom call, I want a copy. I mean, like, literally. And I've got friends in the media that would also like a copy. So if you have that, Marie, if you know who has that, if anyone's got a recorded version of it, I need it. All right, you guys, we're heading into a 3-day weekend, Veterans Day. Find a veteran, tell them thank you. In the meantime, we love you, and do not forget, there are indeed more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you Tuesday.